Roger Cook to be the 31st Premier of WA. Charges laid over the Horizontal Falls boat crash and why Aussies are paying 50% more for airfares. It's Wednesday, the 31st of May.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to you too. What a big week in WA politics. We didn't know
that. It's not even over yet.
We're only halfway through. We didn't know it was going to be a big week. I don't think even Mark McGowan knew it was going to be a big week. Did you read Joe Spagnolo and the West Australian's amazing first-hand account of what was going on inside the cabinet room?
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It seems like McGowan didn't even really know for sure if he was going to pull the pin on Monday before he went into cabinet, and then has gone in, sat in the meeting. Who knows what came up, but obviously nothing to his liking. And then he's pulled Papalia, Safiotti, Sue Ellery, and there was one other, Templeman, into the tea room off to the side and said, just giving you the heads up.
I'm out,
baby. And then Safiotti was in tears, apparently. Ellery might have been teared up as well. And they begged him not to go. Couldn't change his mind. He's gone back into cabinet, and that's where he's announced the bombshell news that he was resigning as premier, which kicked off a lot of political manoeuvring and who was going to replace him. Now we know it's Roger Cook with a deputy premier in Rita Safiotti. Now, this manoeuvring involved Amber Jade Sanderson. No one really knew how it was going to pan out. Well, that's not true. One news podcast did predict it. Let's take a listen. I'd do Cook with Safiotti as deputy.
100%? 100%.
There you go.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much more
emphatic
than that.
We called it yesterday, didn't we?
We called it.
Yeah. That would be the strongest combo, and that's what we've ended up with. Here we are. It was interesting hearing that Mark McGowan read Justin Langer's column in The West that was all about knowing when it's your time to go, and obviously he went in the tea room and that was it.
So it's JL's fault.
Yeah. Well, but it's interesting how it all crystallised very quickly yesterday, didn't it? Yeah. And, you know, you can obviously read in The West about the machinations of the voting process within the Labor Party and the different unions that, and how Roger Cook, you know, he seemed out of it at the start of the day when Amber Jade Sanderson had the approval of one of the left-leaning unions. And then all of a sudden, he's done a deal with Rita and in he goes.
It's a real steep learning curve for Amber Jade Sanderson.
I think, though, the problem for Amber Jade Sanderson, and I really hope that she can sit back here, is that while she's a very strong political performer, especially probably behind the scenes, you would say, in terms of the front-facing with the voters, she comes across as very professional.
Yep.
But I think voters want more than that. They want the connection with their leaders.
Yeah, a bit more personality.
100%. And that's perhaps what she needs to work for if, you know, she wants to become premier down the track.
Yeah, geez, you know, like it's now she'll have to go and lick her wounds. And can you imagine if she's not in cabinet, she has to go to the backbench after this?
Well,
which would seem to be a big loss of talent.
That would be a loss of talent. I think she needs to be kept in the health portfolio.
Yeah, no one else wants it though, I'm pretty sure. So and I think she hasn't done a bad job. I think that'd be a good result. But at the same time, there's a lot of mouths to feed in caucus in the Labor Party. How many MPs they got? 70,
yeah, well,
70
is,
something?
And this is the thing. You've got to, you know,
gotta
give some
happy
treats to your backers.
Indeed.
And punish your those who fight against
throw
you.
Some, but throw some lollies
I do not think it would be a smart move to move her out of the health portfolio at this point. And I really hope that she's able to just pick herself up and get back to work, and because that's what matters.
And those union MPs from the left faction that backed her, I think they'll also be now looking over their shoulder a little bit now that they've kind of, you know, made their allegiances known.
I don't know why they would have necessarily backed her, given she's only been a minister for a short period compared to Roger Cook, who's been deputy for years.
Yeah, and he just gave us a masterclass, I think, in how to position yourself
totally
in a political party.
And on Sunrise yesterday, when we heard from all three of the contenders at that point, he was the only one that appeared like premier material straight away.
Yeah. Well, he's been Deputy Premier for a long time.
Yeah.
And has acted as Premier when McGowan's been on holidays or away. So,
yeah. He would have known, speaking to Jeff Parry, that moment, there would have been MPs watching, there's your time to shine.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Rita's still gobsmacked that Mark's gone. She's still in the tea room. And then Amber Jade Sanderson's too busy telling us about walking her dog, you know. It's a real. It was a real masterclass yesterday in what to do.
A smooth transition, I reckon.
Yeah.
That continuity. We'll see where it goes now, and if they can keep it all together. Because I think at the moment, the only thing that can hurt the Labor Party is the Labor Party.
The Labor Party, yeah. And we've seen that at a federal level.
And now we saw that horrible high-speed boat crash at Horizontal Falls in the Kimberley, and now we have an update in that case.
Yeah, so the tour company and the boatmaster behind this high-speed boat crash will appear in Perth Magistrates Court at the end of next month after being charged. So I'll run through this. It's taken 12 months, but the Australian Maritime Safety Authority has now charged the boatmaster, Edward Wisson, with two safety-related offences, and the owner, Horizontal Falls Seaplane Adventures, also faces two charges for failing to ensure the safety of the vessel and failing to maintain safety management systems. So, as you mentioned, this high-speed tour boat called the Falls Express smashed into rocks at the popular tourist destination in May last year, and several people were seriously injured. It required a major emergency response. So, it has taken 12 months.
Time.
It's obviously been a very thorough investigation, but they feel that they have the evidence to lay these charges, and we will find out more at the end of next month when it goes to court.
Yeah, and talking about legal updates, you've got one in the case of that Atlantis Baptist College shooting.
Yeah, so a psychiatrist is today going to visit Bankshire Hill to speak with the 15-year-old accused of shooting a gun at the Northern Suburbs school. That psychiatrist will prepare a report, which is going to play a critical role in a magistrate deciding whether to grant the teenager bail this afternoon. So he faced the Children's Court yesterday, accused of shooting into classrooms at the college, and the prosecution suggested the state will oppose bail. So part of the evidence they've formed includes an audio recording of the juvenile's 000 call. So watch out for more on that today on thewest.com.au and also in 7 News at 4 and 6.
Yeah, obviously we'll be watching that one very closely. Shocking, shocking situation. And now talking about predicting things, so we've got the Cook Saffiotti thing, right? Early this week I wrote a column about AI and, you know, the potential for it to bring about an apocalypse, doomsday. Ooh,
this is
time.
In your Perth Now column.
Yeah, end of times kind of stuff, right? And and so and
all
my point
jolly,
was and my
it?
Point was that it might be hard to spot, you know, like you got
fake from real.
Yeah, and what like an AI apocalypse might look like, because you know how you got the classic kind of like signs of the apocalypse, trees
sort of
bleeding blood and the sea levels rising and fire and brimstone from the sky, all those really obvious things.
Yeah, I was just thinking some sort of nuclear cloud, aliens, Armageddon type thing.
Generally very obvious to spot the apocalypse, but with AI not so easy.
We won't spot it.
We might not spot it. And so,
are we living in an AI apocalypse now?
Do you know what? That's the fear. A group of leading technology experts from around the world have overnight warned that artificial intelligence technology should be considered a societal risk, like we're talking extinction level risk, in the same class as pandemics and nuclear wars. And so this statement was signed by hundreds of executives and academics, and the worrying thing about it is some of those people included Google, the creators of ChatGPT, amongst a bunch of other people who no one knows more about AI than these guys. And so they've released this statement on behalf of the Center for AI Safety amid concerns that there's no regulation. It was like, hello, you guys invented
it.
You guys created it.
I love how we've gone with this story. We spoke about months ago that ChatGPT was going to be banned for students because we were worried that they were, you know, plagiarizing and having these essays just drawn up for them. And suddenly now we're talking about the end of the world, the end of civilization. That escalated.
It escalated very fast. And that's thing, right? So now some of these experts have said, well, look, since ChatGPT was released in November last year, maybe it has improved and had changes that we didn't anticipate. And so
it's better than
it.
We thought.
They're worried about it.
So what's it going to look like? Can you paint us a picture? Like, how is this going to end civilization?
Well, I think they're worried that Terminator. It's Terminator, man. Like,
AI will
get into the nuclear launch codes.
Oh my God, now I'm freaked out.
But you got to remember, think about all the things in our lives that have computers in them. Cars, planes, everything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like you're driving your Tesla and all of a sudden the AI goes, oh, do you know what? I'm going to put this into a wall.
I'm going to do this instead.
Yeah. So that's the thing. And so they're worried that if introducing AI, we might have inadvertently produced a competing organism on the planet, an invasive species. This is what they've said, an invasive species.
Are you sure this isn't a movie review that you're giving us?
I know, it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary. And talking about planes, so this is honestly my opinion here, that Australia is being held hostage by airlines. Right, okay. We can't leave the country because prices are so high. For a lot of people, it's unaffordable.
Yeah.
And so new data has revealed international airfares from Australia have surged by more than 50% above pre-pandemic levels. But get this, even as the cost of jet fuel has plunged.
So why are they going up? Is it the cost of labour?
Price gouging.
Just price gouging. They're just trying to make money after COVID.
Yeah, after COVID, they're saying now the airlines are making so much money and they're refusing to reduce prices. And because capacity is still limited, they're able to get away with it. But the consumer protection is threatening the airlines. Don't deliberately keep capacity low, so you're artificially increasing prices. They're thinking they might be reducing capacity deliberately so that they can keep the demand going.
So a big load on the planes.
Yeah, yeah.
And sell them at a premium. Well, I was looking at, might go to Europe this year, you know, because nobody likes winter. And it was like $3,000 return. Yeah. And I was like, no thanks.
It's insane at the moment.
And fuel prices. Hello, Bali.
Fuel prices have halved since mid-2022. So there is no reason.
It's not the fuel.
It's not the fuel at all.
So then why do we not have airlines offering cut prices and get a share of the market and away they go?
They don't need to. That's the thing. They don't need to.
Well, this is the thing. In terms of like Europe, what have you got? You've got the big ones. You've got Qantas, you've got Singapore, you've got Emirates, you know.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. Experts say maybe by the end of this year, some of the heat might come out of airline prices. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Sport. Now, the Hawthorn investigation involving the mistreatment of First Nations players by the AFL has come to a close. The result is nothing.
Yeah.
That's the result. Nothing. Mm. No adverse findings. The AFL and the First Nation players and families involved in the probe have reached an agreement and wish to resolve all differences with the AFL. I heard that and I immediately thought, okay, cash settlement.
Yeah.
But outgoing AFL CEO Gil McLachlan has said there was no financial component to the agreement.
No charges brought against anyone.
Old Gil said the defendants had been cleared and the complainants feel heard. And this comes after 8 months where really nothing much happened and a lot of people weren't even interviewed. And, of course, we know that Alistair Clarkson and Fagan at the Brisbane Lions are pretty ticked off about how it's all gone down.
Yeah.
Gil McLachlan has said this is one of the hardest things that he's ever been involved in. And he reckons it's not over. So even though there's been no adverse findings, he said that there could still be sanctions against Hawthorn. So how does that work?
I don't understand. Something's gone on behind.
But you could still be punished,
doors here.
And also civil litigation could still be pending.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me
at all.
How are the people who complained now happy and they've had no financial restitution?
Yeah.
There's been no mass apology or I don't get what's gone on.
Yeah, unless he's pointing to some sort of sanctions against Hawthorn here that might still be coming. But why would they not have brought the sanctions now? Yeah. I know.
Announced it and said, we've come to the conclusion of the investigation. Here are the sanctions.
Yeah. So I think it seems like the no adverse findings is a kind of a, we don't have enough evidence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To say one thing or another. But we'll see where it goes next.
The Wild West.
Do you remember the sexy stripper? The sexy SWAT stripper who looked like a police officer
in the city. Oh my god! Yeah, was this last year?
Yeah,
seems like
Chad.
Forever.
Chad, that's right. He had it on the back of his SWAT outfit, and so he was arrested when police saw him in a car with what looked like a weapon.
He was just there
to do a strip show at a woman's 50th.
What was his weapon
party.
Again?
It was like. Great question. But the police accused him of carrying a gel blaster. And now this is before the courts. It was in court yesterday. And now body cam footage from the police depict the stripper saying to police, "You made a mistake. You made a mistake. I'm an adult entertainer. It's fine. Stop, stop, stop. This is ridiculous, hey? You guys have made a mistake." And so now their lawyers are fighting the allegations. They're saying it wasn't even a gel blaster and have questioned if officers have tampered with it. The officers in question had denied the allegations. And so
they're saying it was a real gun.
No, they're saying it was a gel blaster, which is also illegal.
Yeah.
He's saying it wasn't even a gel blaster.
Okay.
And so,
what's the difference between a gel blaster and a gun?
And a fake toy gun?
Or a gun?
Well, a gun shoots bullets. Gel blasters shoot water pellets.
Okay.
But they're also illegal.
Thank goodness not one to of the us same is level. On the dark web.
Which is a great place to book a stripper. And so he'll be. And the Chad is going to be, I don't even know if you can do that, to be honest. And the Chad is going to be back before the Perth Magistrates Court next month. So
there's still more to come on this.
Still more to come.
So
it's not
just a straight, oh, no. Yeah, we got it wrong. He's no. actually a stripper. He didn't no. mean to go and no, no, threaten they're, anyone they're, or shoot
they're,
anyone.
They're going
to
try and get him Why on the gel blaster.
Okay.
So we'll see where
so
it goes.
So they're saying, so at this point now, just to recap, they're saying, the police are saying it was a gel blaster. Yeah. And the lawyer for the stripper is saying, no, it wasn't a gel blaster.
You're mistaken. I can see why he pulled out his weapon and you got confused.
So
but it
don't,
wasn't a gel
so
blaster.
Don't we just look at what they seized and go, here it is.
They're saying the police
Why is this clogging
it?
Up our court system?
Yeah, I know. And that's your news from the West Australian for Wednesday, May 31. And don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player. Matty, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Catch you tomorrow, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.